You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
Well, I'm Dr. Stan here at the American Theater Network, and with us this morning, as customarily on Friday morning, is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief to bring us up to date on what's really going on, the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just great. So what issues are we going to be addressing today?
Well, we're going to first of all start talking about the election and the manipulation that's been going on. This is Romney's first win of the election. Everything has been negative in the press about Romney. Now, even though I'm no fan of Romney nor his constant attempts to please the establishment, I'm even more disturbed by the establishment's manipulation of polling numbers in order to make sure Obama wins re-election. First, the establishment went undercover to illegally record Romney's remarks about 47% of Americans being victims, and then boosted Obama's polling numbers in order to make this silly attack on Romney have an effect. Yes, the constant drumbeat about Romney's unlikability and elitism have taken a toll, but Obama's still very much at risk of losing, especially after Wednesday's debate, where Obama, without his teleprompter, stumbled badly. Ultimately, I think the course of the election will be decided by vote fraud in key swing states where the establishment political machines have a history of boosting election rolls with illegal aliens and altering electronic voting records.
I share your concern. Certainly, they, with the electronic voting machines, they can elect anyone they want to, any one time they want to. We have lost the ability to have free and open elections in America with the introduction of those voting machines back in the year 2000. Go ahead.
Yes, and I think that they engineered that hanging Chad controversy just in order to justify, you know, getting in electronic voting machines. But, you know, it's interesting relative to vote fraud, just a blatant political move this week by a Pennsylvania judge when he ordered state officials not to enforce a tough new voter ID law until after the November election. I mean, what could be more political than that ruling effective only for a month? Republicans, long suspicious of ballot box stuffing in the Democratic bastion of Philadelphia, enacted the law in Pennsylvania as a protection against election fraud, which now requires voters to merely show a state-issued photo ID, which would only exclude, of course, illegal aliens. Critics claim it would suppress minority turnout, but only those that shouldn't be voting anyway, and that's the gripe by Democrats who have no qualms about registering and allowing illegals to vote. You can't get on an airline without a photo ID, but it's surprisingly, supposedly anti-democratic to require an ID at the voting booth, which is the exclusive domain of people with their citizenship. But as Ben Stein opined, citizenship is becoming a mere obligation to pay for those being given a free ride, such as health care and the vote. Fathom the hypocrisy of a government that requires every citizen, he said, to prove they are insured, but not every citizen must prove they are a citizen. Many of those who refuse or are unable to prove they're a citizen will receive free medical insurance paid by those who are forced to buy insurance because they are citizens. Talk about ironic. Now, this is why judges who work for the powers to be have interpreted the 14th Amendment to permit all babies born from illegals to have automatic citizenship, which was never intended by this post-Civil War amendment. No other country does this. These are the same judges who always decry any attempt to exclude non-citizens from welfare and free public education and force hospitals to treat non-citizens for free. There's an agenda behind all this call for multicultural absorption, which is, you know, proving to be a magnet for immigrants to further future ethnic conflict, just like Europe faces with all the Muslim immigrants. It also waters down the base's culture the base culture's majority in elections, which in the case of the United States is a culture of constitutional limitations on government power. So they're definitely trying to water down our vote by bringing in as many illegal aliens as they can. That's why they now have a policy within the INS not to deport people. Tremendous cover-up has been going on. Now, in order to re-elect Obama, the powers that be are going to have to order up another round of electronic voter fraud, which is increasingly easy to do, even though there is a paper trail for these voting machines. That's because state officials and judges almost never allow a recount based upon that paper trail. But there are limits to how much they can change the vote electronically. It's not that they can elect anybody they want. Because of exit polling accuracies, political machines can only get away with changing the electronic vote tallies up to about 8 to 10%. Otherwise, the manipulation is too obvious and people become outraged. If they keep the difference below 10%, they can always explain it away by margin of error, just like polling manipulation, which can often exceed the 4% margin of error they claim. With Romney's big win in the debate this week, it appears the powers that be are going to have to really alter the electronic vote towards Obama to ensure a win. Politico.com, a left-wing site, had to admit that each candidate leads in states considered safe for their individual party. In safe GOP states, Romney leads by 8 percentage points. In safe Democratic states, Obama leads by a massive 22 points. Isn't that interesting, Stan? That real Democratic states, boy, his lead is overwhelming. But in the more numerous and more important swing states, Romney leads now, after the debate, by 4 points, hitting the critical 50% threshold nationwide. So even with manipulated polling, Romney's showing even now with Obama, because they were, you know, manipulating it downward to show. But actually, Obama is very unpopular in many sectors of the country outside of those hardcore Democratic states, and they're really having to push the envelope to get him elected, especially there's two more debates coming up. CNN was, you know, blaming this all on Mitt Romney being more ready than Obama, implying that Obama was not ready or that the winner was a matter of preparation, which it is not. Both had prepared for days. They said after nearly two dozen debates against fellow Republicans early in this campaign and exacting preparation of the month since, the Republican candidate has first chance to win. Well, see, they're blaming it all. Not that Romney's better than Obama in debate, that he just had more experience in debating. Baloney. But they even had the result. Had to state that the results seemed so imbalanced that even some of the president's supporters quickly conceded defeat. James Carville, the notable Democratic Party strategist, said Obama was off his game. It looked like Romney wanted it to be there and the president did not. Well, that's really an understatement. Boy, when you look at what Charles Hurt said at the Washington
Times. Hold the thought, Joel. We'll be right back.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Well, just this morning, Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief, and Joel, you go right ahead.
We're talking about the reaction to, or the results of the first debate between Obama and Mitt Romney, and how CNN, even though they admitted defeat, that that Obama didn't perform well and didn't come anywhere near close to telling how really bad it was. Charles Hurd of the Washington Times said, "Bewildered and lost without his teleprompter, Obama flailed all around the debate stage last night. He was stuttering, nervous, and petulant. It was like he had been called in front of the principal after goofing off for 4 years and blowing off all his homework. The split screen was most devastating. Mitt Romney was forthright, carefully studied facts, details at the ready. He looked right at the president and accused him of being miles out of his depth. Mr. Obama, his eyes were glued to his lectern, looking guilty and angry and impatient with all the vagaries of democracy. This debate was seriously chafing him." Well, I think that really said it. I mean, it was just obvious to people the president was out of his league. "I have to laugh at the media snipes at Romney, though, that because of his wealth, we don't know who he really is. Well, besides not being true, what we do know, what do we know about Obama, really? Beyond the birther issue, which is perhaps the biggest political cover-up in history, the media talks about Romney's $250 million earned over decades and never questions how Obama got to be worth an understated $8.3 million when he never had a high-paying job until now. They criticize Romney's lack of foreign policy experience, but what did Obama have? Nothing at all, and they never mentioned that. If Romney had a campaign staff willing to go after Obama on this issue, a good attack would look like it was written by Alan Karub of the Wall Street Journal this week. Obama, he said, I think he's kind of led a make-believe life in which money was provided and doors were open because at some point early on, somebody or some group, he says George Soros, took a look at this tall, good-looking, half-white, half-black young man from exotic Muslim name and concluded he would be guided to a life of politics where his facile speaking skills could even put him in the White House. Well, that group behind him is not just George Soros, but Soros insofar as he's part of the larger globalist cabal that controls both parties. At some point in his Marxist upbringing, Obama was lured in by the powers that be and began to work for them. So all of these right-wing people, you know, complaining about the Marxist agenda of Obama, how it's crucifying the country, Obama isn't following any agenda except what his government handlers tell him how to do. He's following a globalist agenda, and it has some Marxist and socialist elements, of course. But it also has many of these neocon elements as he continues to promote these foreign wars. In a very real way, said Alan Karuba at the Wall Street Journal, he's been a very young man in a very big hurry. Who else do you know who has written two memoirs before the age of 45? Dreams of My Father was published in 1995 when he was only 34 years old. The Audacity of Hope followed in 2006. If indeed he wrote them himself, which he didn't, there are some who think his mentor and friend, Bill Ayers, socialist communist, a man who calls himself Communist with a small C, was the real author. Well, but that would point out, if he was, that Bill Ayers, in fact, is not really a communist, but he's a globalist, working the communist side of the political spectrum, because anybody who writes these memoirs for Obama had to be in on the fact that Obama was being promoted. And he wasn't being promoted by the Communist Party. He was promoted by the Chicago machine, which is controlled by the globalists. That's how he got wealthy in his first house in Chicago with special deals, and then somehow he picked up a 4.4, or some people say as high as a $14 million estate in Hawaii. Well, where do you get the money to do that? As a political organizer, just impossible, unless you're getting paid off on the inside. Karuba says his political skills consisted of rarely voting on anything that might seem controversial. talking about as a legislature in the Illinois. And he had the, of course, the good fortune of having Mayor Daley's formidable political machine at his disposal. He was in the U.S. Senate so briefly that his bid to the presidency was either an act of astonishing self-confidence or part of some greater plan that had been determined before he first stepped foot into the Capitol. And that latter point is exactly right. How many must wonder, says Karuba, was he selected to be a 2004 keynote speaker at the Democratic Convention and nominated John Kerry when virtually no one had ever heard of him before. That means he was absolutely being promoted. He outmaneuvered Hillary Clinton in the primaries. He took Iowa by storm. Listen to this. He says, a charming young man, an anomaly in a state with a very small black population. He just oozed cool, they said, in a place where agriculture was the antithesis of cool. He dazzled the locals, he says, and he had an army of volunteers drawn to a charisma that hid any real substance. Well, in fact, all of that charisma, complained about, was really manufactured by the media. In reality, the media hype is what dazzled the dumbed-down locals in Iowa. It wasn't that he, in fact, had any great charisma himself. And then there was the great fortune of having Republicans select one of the most inept candidates for the presidency since Bob Dole. And he's talking about the candidacy of John McCain. Well, it wasn't that the Republicans really went out to select John McCain. In 2008, I covered why in the World Affairs Brief and how this happened. It was a desperate attempt to deny Romney, even then, the nomination when their favorite, Rudolph Giuliani, was rejected by conservatives. The powers that be were desperate to stop Romney from rising into the number one spot after Giuliani bombed. They resurrected McCain from the low single digits with six major Democratic newspaper endorsements and rave reviews on the so-called McCain surge from all the mainstream media. So that's how, you know, we got Dole. It was because they were desperate to stop Romney even back in 2008. And then John McCain did something crazy, says Karuba. He picked Sarah Palin, an unknown female governor from the very distant state of Alaska. Actually, in my opinion, McCain didn't pick Palin. The powers that be picked her to help assuage the conservatives who weren't very enthused about McCain. Now, in 3 full years into his presidency, says Karuba, all those gilded years leading up to the White House have left him totally unprepared to be president. Well, actually, my comment is the powers that be don't want someone prepared to lead, like Romney. They want someone only prepared to follow their script, which Obama has done well, except when the script isn't in front of him. Left to his own instincts, he has a talent for saying the wrong thing at the wrong time, says Karuba. It swiftly became a joke that he could not deliver even the briefest of statements without his ever-present teleprompters. Then there was the piece by Terry Anderson, an L.A. talk show host. He's black, no fan of Obama, but kind of a socialist. Here's a partial list of Obama falsehoods that I've excerpted from his writing. He says, Obama claims that his father was a goat herder and freedom fighter in Kenya. Well, not exactly, says Anderson. He was a privileged, well-educated youth who went to work for the Kenyan government. He was part of one of the most corrupt and violent Kenyan governments ever. Obama claims my family has strong ties to African freedom. Not exactly, says Anderson. Your cousin Raila Odinga has created mass violence in attempting to overturn a legitimate election in 2007 in Kenya. It was the first widespread violence in decades. The current government is pro-American, but Odinga wants to overthrow it and establish Muslim Sharia law. Obama then claims my grandmother has always been a Christian. Not exactly, he says. She does her daily Salat prayers at 5 a.m. according to her own interviews, not to mention Christianity wouldn't allow her to be one of 14 wives to one man. And these, of course, are all quotes from his book that he's taking apart. Obama says in his books, I never practiced Islam. Well, not really, says Anderson. You practiced it daily at school in Indonesia where you were registered as a Muslim and kept that faith for 31 years until your wife made you change it so you could run for office. Actually, it was others of the kingmakers who began to manage his political career, not his wife, made him change. He claims my school in Indonesia was Christian. Well, not true. If you were registered as Muslim there and got into trouble in Quranic studies for making faces, according to your own book, Mr. Obama described the Muslim call to prayer as one of the prettiest sounds on earth at sunset. This is just example, one example of what Pamela's talking about when she says Obama's narrative is being altered, enhanced, and manipulated to whitewash troubling facts. Obama claims in his book that an Ebony article moved me to run for office. Not true. Obama has yet to find, Ebony has yet to even find an article you mentioned in your book. It doesn't, it never did exist. He claims to be a professor of law. Not true. He was a senior lecturer on leave. Claims to be a constitutional lawyer. Not exactly. In fact, he was just a senior lecturer on leave. I have been a bold leader in Illinois, he claims. Well, even your own supporters claim you have not been bold in action on your part. You claim to pass 26 bills on your own, but you didn't. It was simply created by other senators, which helped you boost into office. He claims he never takes PAC money, but he takes loads of it. Obama claims I don't have any lobbyists, but he has 47 lobbyists and counting. Well, Sam, these are mild, actually, falsehoods compared to the falsehood of his being born in Hawaii and allowing the powers to be to get him into Colombia while he worked for the CIA taking trips to Pakistan. Obama was also given the editorship of the Harvard Law Review without ever writing a published piece, something that had to raise out eyebrows among the other lawyers on that egotistical bastion of liberal ladder climbing in Harvard. You know, getting the editorship of the Law Review is the most cherished, coveted piece in law school. There's only some hundred, law school students there. They had to be hopping mad that someone like Obama got the editorship after having produced nothing in school. The other blockbuster secret about Obama has been carefully covered up by his past, and that's his homosexuality. From the admissions of Larry Sinclair and the eyewitnesses at Chicago gay bathhouses, not a few have seen Obama's homosexual past. Now Jerome Corsi of WorldNet Daily has another side to the gay agenda that took place at Obama's Trinity Church, which apparently ran a secret program to protect and matchmake for black homosexuals, including Obama. And that's covered in WorldNet Daily if people want to look for that link. Then, of course, there is the dismantling of the appeal of the pro-Israel conservatives toward Romney. With all the hyped-up contention between Israel's plans to attack Iran and Obama's feigned resistance to those plans, and I say feigned because the United States has always been behind this attack on Iran, you'd think that that would accrue to Romney's favor. But just when the media was beginning to worry that Christians were turning to Romney as the one who was more pro-Israel than Obama, Netanyahu suddenly stops attacking Obama and starts praising him at the UN with no change in external U.S. policy. Jim Loeb wonders, he said, did Bibi just throw Romney under the bus? Based on the events of the past day and a half, it's difficult not to conclude that the Israeli prime minister believes that Mitt Romney will almost certainly lose the election to Obama, and so he's playing up to Obama. And I think he's reading the tea leaves correctly. Even though Obama's stumbling badly, it appears that the powers that be still want to give us four more years of Obama. And all of this that I'm mentioning is evidence that the powers that be intend to reelect the president. The constitutional right continues to assert that Romney's an insider and just as much controlled by the powers that be as Obama. And I continue to explain, for the sake of new listeners and new subscribers, that simply is not true. I am no fan of Romney, but I need to make this point that the kingmakers wouldn't have tried so hard to stop him from getting the nomination in 2008 or 2012 if he were one of them. In fact, he's not an insider, and they resent anyone trying to get into the race with their own money, bypassing their vetting process. But even more than that, they fear that an insider may see about They fear what an insider may see about illegal operations inside the White House that they may not be able to keep from the president, especially one that's no dummy like Romney. Lastly, they never pick insiders and puppets who aren't morally compromised or blackmailable, and Romney doesn't fit that mold either. Now, that isn't to say that Romney would help us or save us if he were elected. He's already sending messages that he would retain most of Obamacare if repealed. Romney's problem is that he has too much ambition and is trying desperately to please the establishment, even though he's not one of them. He's hired virtually all establishment neocon advisors because he's trying to buy the best and the brightest to please people. I hope he loses, not because I want Obama, but because the Kurd conservative movement suffers under Republican...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188. CINN stations in Alt salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine. Point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Alt, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices.
Well, Dr. Stan, Joe, before we go on, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get to your newsletter, how they can subscribe to it, and how they can get the great books you have on preparation for the difficult times that lie ahead?
Thank you, Stan. My newsletter is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com, and people can get a free sample issue by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And my books are showcased on my other website, joelskousen.com, spelled S-K-O-U-S-E-N, joelskousen.com. And there are three major books that I have for sale, and which Radio Liberty covers or carries, and those are, first, The Secure Home. This is my big book on architectural details on how to develop a high-security residence or retreat. It covers everything from energy self-sufficiency as well. My top-selling book is the new color third edition of Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. Really selling well all over the nation because so many people in the prepper movement are considering relocating out of big cities to more safer locations. But my book also covers a lot of details on how to relocate within a city when you don't and can't relocate, how to develop contingency plans to safeguard your future. My last book is How to Implement a High Security Shelter in the Home. It's a architectural plan book on how to do a safe room within an existing basement. And all three of these books are available from Radio Liberty. Are you there, Stan?
Yes, I am. And certainly they can get our books by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, next topic, I want to talk about Glenn Beck's The Project, which I believe is more government propaganda. Glenn Beck's latest expose and documentary is more of a propaganda piece for the neocon agenda than a true documentary. It's all about the supposed secret plans found while raiding the home of a Muslim scholar named Joseph Nada in Switzerland, and claims that there's a grand threat of Muslims to take over the West, destroying our government and Christianity in the process. Both part one and two of the project are available on YouTube if people want to see them. The premise is introduced by an anonymous voice at the beginning. The Muslim Brotherhood, it says, must infiltrate all aspects of American life, sabotage and destroy it. Islam will reign supreme over all other religions. That's the claim, and it's hogwash. Hyping the Islamic threat only plays into the hands of the neocons and diverts conservatives from the real threat, which is our globalist government, which is hyping the Muslim threat in order to create more conflict in the Middle East. The document talks about establishing an observing Islamic base, but this is strictly a function of Western governments allowing and promoting easy Muslim integration or immigration in both Europe and the U.S. Muslims could do nothing to accomplish this infiltration without globalist policymakers inside Washington and Brussels. But even with excessive immigration, infiltration and sabotage is still a pipe dream. And that's because Muslims look different. They just simply cannot infiltrate everything without people becoming upset and resisting it. Beck's writers erroneously try to compare this supposed Muslim infiltration with communist infiltration in the 1930s and 40s. The McCarthy era, you know, Martin Dyes Committee on American Activities. They bring out dozens of experts to talk about how the establishment denies the threat, but it was real. Well, yes and no. Yes, there was a communist threat in government, but they didn't get there simply by their own devious infiltration, as he is implying. They were sponsored and hired into government by globalists like Alger Hiss, who even joined the Communist Party in order to help convince them that he was one of them. So Beck's entire focus on the similarity of communist infiltration into the U.S. government and Muslim infiltration is invalid unless he tells you about the globalists who helped both communists enter the government and who are helping Muslim radicals in the same way. But as usual, Beck won't touch conspiracy, his biggest weakness relative to helping to awaken the American people. Now, Beck has helped bring a lot of people to a better understanding of some threats, but in the project, he fails to document all the government agent provocateurs that have been involved in almost every case of domestic terror by Muslims. He hypes the threat, but is silent on the conspiracy between law enforcement and the enticement of young, angry Muslims into doing small acts of terror. The globalists inside our government are hyping the Muslim threat for the same general reason they brought communists into our government, to create war and crises, which would justify U.S. intervention. This is not, as the left claims, all about empire and greedy capitalism. Yes, empires are being built, resources are being gobbled up in these wars, but for the purposes of creating hatred against America and eventually an even larger war against the West. Now, these wars will someday justify our leaders as they come out of their bunkers unscathed, telling us now we have to join together in a militarized new world order in order to save ourselves, because our military is largely destroyed by a nuclear attack. And I'll tell you, it won't be destruction from the Muslims. It will be from the Russians and Chinese, the only two nations that with the military power to take down the West, which is at least a decade away, in my opinion. In summary, the supposed threat found in Switzerland of these plans are too grandiose and generalized to be real operational blueprint for takeover of the West. They may well have been planted by Western operatives to make this case. Beck compares it to Mein Kampf, ideas which influenced the world, but the ideas of Hitler and Mein Kampf didn't inflame anyone but a few radicals, nor did they threaten the world. His military did, not the ideas, and that's the rub I have with his whole idea, Beck and others. Yes, the Muslims are being riled up by the West's constant attack on them, but they do not have and never will have the military power to take down the West. The Arabs and Muslims have always been puppets of the Western or Eastern powers after the fall of the Ottoman Empire. And the Ottoman Empire never would have existed except for the primitive state of arms in those times. No nation has ever been destroyed by terrorism, nor economic collapse, only by overwhelming military conquest. And even if all the plans of the Muslims to infiltrate and sabotage the West were possible, and they are not, they still couldn't take power. No Muslim nation has ever produced any sophisticated weapons without external help. Even infiltration of the West is difficult because ethnic appearances, as I mentioned, will never allow Muslims to blend in seamlessly, as could the Germans into British and American society during World War II. The nation is being flooded with threats about the Muslim Brotherhood, and mostly, you know, put out by Christian ministries trying to capitalize on the pro-Israel sentiment of their congregations. It is being hyped for a reason, and that is to build support for more globalist intervention in Muslim countries. But the real reason for the intervention is to build more terrorism and enhance the West's reputation as a bully of the world. All that ultimately would help foment World War III, the globalist main excuse for forcing Americans into a new world order to save themselves. Now, the project and other Christian documentaries hyping the threat of the Muslim Brotherhood and Islam always concentrate on Muslim teachings and speeches about jihad and its dangers.
And I agree with you, Joel.
But in reality, drumming up recruits for suicide bombers through speeches and writings about jihad have rarely worked to create large numbers of people willing to fight until relatives get killed by
soldiers. Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have already heard was coming and is now already in the world. 1 John 4:1.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Well, Dr. Stan, and first, what Joel is pointing out is the fact that everything's being done to inflame the American people against the threat of the Muslims who want to take over our country, and it's all ridiculous. This whole thing is being promoted to prepare us for a war with the Muslim world, and in a similar matter, everything is being done in the Muslim nations to turn the Muslims against the West, and certainly our troops over there don't help this matter at all. We are maintaining massive troops and influence in the Muslim world, and we are antagonizing the Muslims to get them to hate the West. You've got to get the people to hate one another before you can have a war. We saw this certainly in World War I with the propaganda, in World War II with the propaganda. Ladies and gentlemen, understand that the people who control America are doing everything to prepare us for another terrible war. Go right ahead, Joel.
Thank you, Stan. We're talking about all of the hype about preaching jihad as if it has this magic effect of suddenly getting people to all do radical things. But it really doesn't work, at least in modern times, until relatives get killed by Israeli soldiers, American soldiers, or worse, American drones. And the drones are currently the most inflammatory weapon the U.S. uses, as I pointed out in last week's brief. Dead relatives and children are what bring out the anger and passion in young Arabs, allowing them to be talked into becoming a terrorist or suicide vehicle. Take away the killing and the occupation of Arabs, and almost all of the suicide bombers go away. Not all, but enough that it ceases to become a major problem. Then you add to the fact that the CIA runs al-Qaeda at the top, funding it with Saudi money, and you gather all those newly energized terrorists and unleash them on the West, and suddenly you have all the excuse in the world to keep going before the public and claiming there exists a huge Muslim threat. But this threat has been mostly manufactured and certainly exaggerated. Our own government is growing the threat, and this is an important point, not because they intend for it to become a major military threat to our home soil, as these documentaries are claiming, but merely as a stepping stone to creating enough world hatred against among Russian and Chinese allies against the West to justify communism's military reemergence in order to stop the bully of the world. And so this is an interim strategy to build for World War III, which will not be a war with Iran against the world. It will be a war between Russia and China against the West. And much of the Muslim world has to be poisoned against us to become allies of Russia and China in that regard. Well, let's talk a little bit about the situation in Syria and Turkey. Turkey, cross-border tensions escalated Wednesday after a lone artillery shell fired from inside Syria landed on a home in the Turkish village of Akkale, killing two women and three of their daughters and wounding at least 10 others. Turkey has taken the next big escalation in the war to topple Assad, the Assad regime in Syria, authorizing military operations into Syria. Turkey's parliament authorized military operations against Syria on Thursday, and its military fired on targets there for a second day after deadly shelling from Syria killed five civilians in a Turkish border town, which Syria, by the way, profusely apologized for. For its part, Syria admitted it was responsible for the shelling that killed five people in Turkey and formally apologized for the deaths, a top Turkish official said. But none of the Western nations aiding and funding the Syrian rebels will ever apologize for the killing done by their people within Syria. The parliament's authorization was not a declaration of war on Syria, but gives Syria the right to respond to any future attacks on Syria. However, this is not simply responding. They are, in fact, going on the attack and begin shelling today of Syrian border towns. So Turkey has basically been put themselves on a war footing, hoping to escalate major war between Syria so that it will give the West an opportunity to intervene. Meanwhile, the emir of Qatar, Sheikh Hamad bin Khalifa Al Thani, has got his sights on Syria as well. He made a grand entrance at the United Nations General Assembly in order to announce a call for an Arab coalition for the willing to style an invasion of Syria. As Pepe Escobar writes this week, he has an oil gripe with Syria. It's clear that Qatar is aiming at to kill the U.S., kill the $10 billion Iran-Iraq-Syria gas pipeline, a deal that has been clinched since, or even as the Syria uprising was underway. The West is itching to intervene, and these actions indicate that that intervention is very, very close.
I fear you're correct. I fear that the war is coming, and anyway, go right ahead.
Now, for some reason or other, you know, Netanyahu has claimed to delay his his claim that he has to attack Iran imminently. He was saying, you know, Iran is only 6 or 7 months away from a bomb, so we have to attack them right away. And now at the UN Assembly, General Assembly speech, when he was kowtowing to Obama, he said, well, we can put off our red lines for another 6 months. And so whether or not he actually will or not remains to be seen, but clearly he's attempting to make sure that there's no conflict that will threaten Obama's reelection. So we'll just have to wait and see. Another story is about a whistleblower that confirms CNN is a shill for the government. Well, I've been saying this ever since the Gulf War, that CNN was the government news network. Former reporter Amber Lyon writes about censorship at CNN. She said, I saw firsthand that these regime claims were lies, and I couldn't believe CNN was making me put what I knew to be government lies into my reporting. Amber Lyon is just the latest in a series of articles that exposed the total Nazi-like censorship rampant in mainstream media today. The first one that Michael Krieger posted several weeks ago exposed how the New York Times basically regurgitates whatever government officials tell them, while the other showcased how an NPR reporter covering D.C. had to leave and do her own thing out of frustration. This is precisely why alternative media sites are taking off. They provide the only outlets left for genuine journalism. So back to Amber. Back in 2011, CNN sent a four-person team to Bahrain to cover the Arab Spring. Once there, the crew was the subject of extreme intimidation, among other things, but they were able to record some fantastic footage of the Bahraini government attacking protesters. Glenn Greenwald wrote, he says, in the segment, Lyon interviewed activists as they explicitly described their torture at the hands of government forces.
Well, we're out of time, Joel. We'll talk to you again next week. We're living an exciting time. Thanks so very much.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 through 3. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245. CINN stations in Alt salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Alt, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices.
With Joel Skousen, I always enjoy it. And ladies and gentlemen, understand the organized propaganda effort to make you hate the Muslims. They're a threat to us. They're going to take away our country. And they're doing the same thing over in the Muslim countries in preparation for a coming war with the Muslim world. When you understand this, everything begins to make sense. Otherwise, why, of course, you tend to come to believe the massive propaganda campaign. Well, this is the time when I need, first of all, to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. As you know, we do 5 hours of talk radio every day, probably more than anybody else in the country. And, of course, we have a number of different networks. And if you're in a position to help us, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And if you're not in a position to help, then we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because, believe me, we're on the front lines of this battle for the survival of Christian civilization. I want to point out we are having an all-day seminar there on the 21st of October. That's just a couple of weeks from now. We're bringing in speakers from across the world. Program will begin at 8:15 in the morning and go through until 6 in the evening. And people, I know we're having some people coming from the Colorado area, and if you'd like to join them, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 because you need reservations. We need to know how many people will be there for lunch. And then, of course, we hope that many of you, if you have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will get it, because it introduces you to the other dimension. There is another dimension. We live in a material world, but there's a mystical world. We live in a subjective world, but there's a spiritual world. We live in a tangible world, but there's an intangible world. We live in a visible world, but there's an invisible world there. And until you understand the true nature of the spiritual battle we're engaged in, so many things going on just don't make sense. And until you understand that these powerful spiritual forces are working behind the scenes, that they've infiltrated the hierarchy of the Christian church, both Catholic and Protestant, and are using these to destroy Christian civilization. And when you see a man like Ted Haggard, a cocaine-using homosexual leading the 30-million-member National Association of Evangelical Christians and using that position to undermine Christianity in our nation, until you understand they've infiltrated the Catholic Church at its highest levels, and of course you have pedophiles and homosexuals there, which is why they've been protecting pedophiles and homosexuals. You understand the degree that they've gone to undermine the foundation of the Christian faith. And certainly I object to many things in the Catholic Church, but there are many people who are Catholics who do love and worship our Lord. And this truly is what it's all about. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a conspiracy against Christianity in our nation today, and that's why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, and now they're taking Christianity out of our military. No longer can a military chaplain pray in the name of Jesus Christ. No longer can our military leaders certainly lead in military prayer or lead in prayer. Understand, of course, destroying the Christian foundation of our military ensures, as far as I'm concerned, that we are going to lose the coming war. And America, we've known, is going to change forever. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Till Monday, may the Lord give you.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of C&C Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessing